Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Welcome to another Thursday afternoon and another edition of Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where we will delve into topics that change people's lives or have the ability to change people's lives. We definitely would love you to join us on the radio if you have a question at 347-989-1363. If you press the number 1 on your phone, you will be put into the queue for the producer to get your question on the air and get it answered by our guests. If you like social media, you can definitely go on to Facebook at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can go to Lloyd S. Rosen, which is my personal page. Get in touch with us. Touch with us at either one of those places. If you don't want to get on the phone and be on the radio, you can definitely ask questions by emailing me at bowler900@sbcglobal.net. You ask a question, I'll get you the answer, and everybody will be better off for it in the end. You can also go to lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com, and you can click on the register to be a guest tab. That will allow you to fill out a form. You can then send it to our producer, who will get in touch with you and set up a date for you to be a guest on our show. If you have a book, if you have a topic, if you have anything that you're interested in promoting, we'd be more than happy to listen to you and to have you on our shows. If you go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, you can listen to all of our shows. We have a number of different ones all week long, Monday through Friday. All of our shows are recorded and downloaded to iTunes. So if you want to get a show and listen to it on your own time, you can definitely do that at iTunes. If you have a question after you listen to the show, please get back to me at 4900@sbcglobal.net. I'll be more than happy to get questions answered and get you the information that you are looking for, no matter what that is, whether that's interest in becoming a host, whatever that may be. I had an interesting day yesterday. I live in northern New Jersey, and I had the pleasure to take a 2.5-hour drive down the turnpike to King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, where Tough Talk Radio Network is proud to say that they've started an arm of their networking group in Pennsylvania. Their original Tough Talk Radio Network, if anybody out there doesn't know, is located in the Houston suburbs. But we have started a Tough Talk Radio Network group in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. It is relatively new. It is growing. I had the opportunity to go down there yesterday and see it. I probably, God willing, will be going down there more often and helping and networking myself. So if there's anybody out there in the Pennsylvania, King of Prussia, Philadelphia area, please don't hesitate. If you're a business owner, please come. Just get on toughtalkradionetwork.com, and you can join the Tough Talk Radio Network business group, and we'll be more than happy to meet and greet you at the function. So please don't hesitate. It's a great way to get to know people. It's a great way to network. It's a great way to connect with people and grow your business, same way that I hope to do with using it. So until we have the next one, which actually, let me say, is November 5th, 2014, in King of Prussia. And if you want more information on it, please do not hesitate to email me at my email address, and I will get you more information on it as we continue to grow. We'll be right back after these messages with our guests.
As a practical, interactive, solution-focused therapist, Dr. Alan Simberg's treatment approach is to provide support and practical feedback to help clients resolve current challenges and long-standing patterns. With sensitivity and compassion, Dr. Simberg helps clients find solutions to a wide range of life challenges and psychological issues. Dr. Simberg specializes in a number of areas, including addiction and recovery solutions, family, parenting, and relationship issues, depression and anxiety, spiritual counseling, and more. Blending conventional and complementary approaches, Dr. Simberg draws on a variety of styles and techniques to incorporate what will be most helpful for each client. Find out more information or contact Dr. Allen at allensimberg.com. Let Dr. Allen...
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues today on this Thursday afternoon. My first guest is a gentleman who spent 30 years in a career as a global manufacturing construction with the Leidig Corporation. He is a native of northern Indiana. He was raised on a farm there, which I'd love to hear more about. He graduated from the great Indiana University, Purdue. In West Lafayette, he got a B.S. in agricultural engineering. He's also received an M.S.B.A. from Indiana University in South Bend. But I'm quite interested to talk to him more about what led him on a journey after spending 30 years in the agricultural area to writing a book called Finding Purpose and Joy, and helping people, as I do, try to find their purpose and joy in life and happiness. So at this time, I'd like to bring in Roger Leidig. How are you, Roger?
I'm very good. More importantly, Lloyd, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to our conversation here because I think we both have a mutual purpose in life, and that is to help people find their purpose and realize that what we've both been through is not the way to live your life. So I did say that you wrote a book, Finding Purpose and Joy. Tell us a little bit about the book to begin with and how it inspired you to write it.
Yes. Well, you know, throughout life, Lloyd, you live and learn, I guess would be the best way to say it. I had come from a small farming community to Purdue into my career path. And early in my career, I thought I was pretty knowledgeable about most things. And I was bold and confident. And that's actually what attracted my wife to me. But, you know, after we got married, it didn't take her very long to realize that when I felt I was right about everything, that probably made her feel like I didn't think she was right about many things. And that kind of carried over into my work life too. You know, when you believe you've got the answers and other people don't, I do think being decisive is a good quality. But one of the biggest things I've been learning in life is that our strengths, when they're carried to extreme, become our weaknesses. And it was through my strength carried to extreme that I kept running into brick walls and getting my nose bloodied. On a personal level, what I found was that in my home, my wife and I were growing further apart. And I didn't know why. I had no clue why that was, because I thought I was a pretty good guy. I was a church-going person. I was on the elder board and a Sunday school teacher and had read the Bible several times. But you know what? we just were growing apart. And I got one form of counsel that didn't help at all. I got a second form of counsel that helped me begin to get on the journey. And if I could just summarize it down into one word, I had no clue how to listen. Oh, I would hear words. And I could tell you what the words that were said, but I didn't know how to listen to the heart. I didn't know how to listen empathically. I didn't know how to listen in a way that would cause the other person to feel like I valued them, valued their opinion. And that certainly was how my wife felt, that I just wasn't valuing her as a person, her ability to think, the fact that she could have feelings that were different than mine. And I didn't realize that. And sadly, I think a lot of husbands find themselves in the same place, that we just think differently than gals do. And as a result, there becomes a lack of connection over a period of time. Because of my religious affiliation, I didn't believe in divorce, and neither did my wife. But we were virtually divorced, but just living under the same roof. And that really began me starting a journey of learning why that was. And, you know, the first thing we all do when there's a trouble in a relationship is we want to blame the other person. But that just doesn't solve problems, plain and simple.
Go ahead. I'm just curious. So through the journey that you had with the counselors, did you come to realize that your wife was correct and you were wrong, and that's what made you want to correct yourself?
I would say that's right. You know, in any relationship, it takes two. But it seldom resolves itself unless each person at the end of the day takes 100% responsibility, not 50%. And for me, I couldn't make my wife do anything. You can't make another person do anything, particularly when it comes to matters of the heart or soul. So all I had to do was focus on myself. And to that end, she was absolutely right. I 100% did not know how to listen well and how to value her. In fact, through counseling, I virtually had to learn a new language. And the language was, I didn't need to fix her problems, but when she talked, I needed to learn to just paraphrase what I thought she said back to her so she could say, Roger, that's not what I'm really saying. Here's what I'm saying. Or, Roger, yeah, that you get it. Until I would really be tuned in to the message that she was trying to say. And most times, she just wanted me to listen and understand instead of coming up with solutions. In 1999, go ahead.
I was going to say, which men always do. They're always looking for a solution to the problem, where women just want you to listen and help them by listening.
Yes, exactly right. In 1999, I had a heart attack in 1999. And by the grace of God, he tapped me on the shoulder instead of knocking me on the head. And that doesn't happen to everybody. You know, I had a friend that within a month, the same age as me, he didn't live through it. I was given the grace to live through it, to learn from it. And that really started putting my learning into a whole new gear. Before the show, you and I briefly talked about the fact that people are rarely willing to learn until they experience so much pain that they can't take it anymore, and then finally they're willing to listen to things that might help the situation become better. Well,
right.
through that heart attack, I became very aware that something needed to change, and that was probably the official catalyst to the journey that I refer to in the book that I've written.
Now, you took the journey, you changed. You saw what it did for you, and so you created a program, a mentoring program for people. So tell us a little bit about the phone mentoring program, because it's very unusual that I find that you can actually help people over the phone versus in person. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the reason I created a phone mentoring program is that, number one, through my own journey, I was led through 10 steps that really they're principles that we're all created with, that there's some common things in our lives that all human beings tend to react either positively or negatively to. And that's those steps that led me to a place where my wife and I are on the same sheet. In fact, it was because of her telling me just a half a year ago, Roger, you need to write this book, that was a stimulus to me that we were on the same page. And through this journey, it led us to the mountains of challenges we had to an area of peace and joy with each other. And what I find in terms of mentoring is a lot of people, maybe men in particular, but for sure people in general, don't want to go see a counselor. There's a stigma with going to an office to see a counselor, and people just kind of stay away from doing that. So they find themselves in trouble, but they don't really want to tell anybody about it. Maybe their friends will find out or whatever. And what I've learned is that through phone mentoring, I can talk to anybody in the country or anybody that speaks the same language, either one-on-one or in small groups, where we can do life together. And my hope always when I mentor people is to help them realize that today is not their destination. It's the first day of the rest of their life. And there's reason for optimism and potential joy. And with phone mentoring, it allows me to connect with people from a distance. And if it's a challenge for them to get away or to go to an office, they can call me from the comfort of their home. And we can chat. We can do it either visually through Skype, visual methods, or just on the phone, whatever is most comfortable for the person. And that gives a confidence to the people that, number one, in doing this, I'm not doing this to become rich or famous, but because I genuinely want to help people find joy in areas where they currently are not living in joy, whether it's in their relationships or whether they're just caught up in a rat race of life. And they're asking the question, is this all there is? So that's why I chose to go with phone mentoring. I do one-on-one face mentoring to people that live in my area. But in order to reach a larger audience and provide a venue that maybe is more comfortable for people, that's why phone mentoring is what I'm offering.
So what can a potential mentoree expect from you as a mentor for them?
That's a really good question. What I will give them is a safe learning environment that encourages them to adapt, to change, and the freedom to grow. And I'll do that by listening attentively, always having their best interest in mind, and provide a safe, confidential space for them to express their needs, wants, and goals. I will be their mentor rather than their counselor. And my hope is to help them learn in the areas of emotional intelligence in terms of listening to another person in a way that really builds trust. My hope also is to help them learn to establish priorities and develop a way to make positive choices that will minimize stress and greatly improve their relationships, using a step-by-step process that I have included in the book that I've written, Finding Purpose and Joy, It's a Journey. So I've gone through it myself, and I'm not sure that a person that hasn't gone through it can really connect with a person that's maybe in the middle of the challenges. And that's why I really feel led with sincerity to reach out to people that may be experiencing challenges in life.
Well, I'm a firm believer in the old adage that says, if you haven't walked the walk, you can't talk the talk. So I totally agree with that. What makes a good candidate for you to mentor? What do they have to have? What, you know?
Yes, that's a great question, too, because for a person to be a good mentor, they need to be at a place in their life where they want to learn. They need to clearly recognize their need by admitting that they're neither satisfied or happy in life the way they're currently experiencing it. They need to realize that to be able to experience different and improved results in life will require changes. And so with that, they need to be open to change, which will require humility. And most importantly, they need to be committed to change, to growth. And if they're willing to invest their time and some money into it, and in my case, not much, it's just a commitment, really, that they are serious about changing. When those things are in place, they will benefit greatly from a mentoring program.
Now, how long... Okay, I call you up on the phone, Roger, and I say, I heard about you, I've read up on you, I want you to mentor me. How long does the program take? Is it a non-ending program for as long as someone wants to be with you, or how does that work?
Well, I offer two programs right now. The if it's a one-on-one mentoring, we could start out with a three-week one-on-one mentoring program, which would be up to an hour conversation each week that would introduce you to the concept of mentoring and get you started on your journey. If through that 3 weeks you decide I want to go for the full 12-week program, you can upgrade it any time through the first few weeks, or you can sign up right away for the 12-week program with a discount. And but I want, whenever I work with a person, I want them to be happy. It's all about them. So I'll approach it the way they would like to approach it in terms of the time frame. After the 12 weeks, if they want to continue with it, we can work out an arrangement on that as well. But those are the two programs that I specifically offer.
Now, the book you've written, Finding Purpose and Joy, as you told me off the air, is the only book that you've written.
Yes.
Is it, and I know you have a very strong connection with the church, so was the book written as a spiritual book, or can it be interpreted as a spiritual book, or do you have ideas in the works for writing another book that is spiritually based?
I would say this book is not telling you what your spiritual life should be. I'm a Christian personally. However, I believe that your connection with God is something that I can't tell you how to do. But everybody is spiritual in nature. And what I hope to do through the mentoring is help people tap into themselves and to their spiritual side and to begin thinking on things that they've not thought about before. I offer my perspective as a Christian, but I don't try to force that on anyone. And I believe that anyone who would partake of this mentoring would find their own way. They would hear a Christian perspective, but not with the emphasis that you got to do this. It's just what I believe in, but I'm not telling others how they need or have to believe. That's really up to each person.
But in the process of the program, because I'll speak from myself, okay? If I was in a mentoring program with you and I knew about your background, I would go through the mentoring program, but I purposefully would want to share a spiritual side because that's just who I am and what I am and how I live my life. So do you could include a spiritual part in the program itself if it was specifically for me. Am I correct?
Absolutely. In fact, I really believe everybody would include their own spiritual element. But I'd like to meet you where you're at and find out what aligns with you. And when I understand what aligns with you, I would for sure engage in your spiritual journey and think through it with you. So that's absolutely true. And I think at the end of the day, most people end up there. What I don't want to do is get into a debating match about my religion versus your religion, because in my belief system, I am to love God with all my heart and love my neighbor as myself. And when I love my neighbors myself, I value them, and I want the very best for them. Part of that is just learning who they are and learning where they're at to help them free up in their relationships. I have so much confidence in our God that I believe God is sovereign, and I don't have to do, nor should I, be the one that tries to convince another person what they should believe. I believe that God is quite capable of doing that. My job is to plant seeds and allow him to work in their spirit. In your case, to work in your spirit. But I want to give you the freedom to align to that so that you can grow in your own way, not in my way.
And it makes perfect sense because God connects with you as a human being through your heart. So, like you said, if you put the seeds in the brain and the brain and the heart work together, which is what I found out from another guest that I had on a couple of months ago, that the person may actually come around and start a conversation with you without you even realizing what you've done in their heart. So that makes perfect sense. And it definitely...
Yeah, that's my intention, is to free our hearts and minds up to be open to conversation and dialogue.
And that goes for any kind of conversation. I know myself, I've been involved in not mentoring groups, but I've been involved with therapy sessions where the conversation is going in one direction and then all of a sudden it goes in a different direction. And the conversation just totally feels comfortable. And I just continue it in that direction because that's the direction I personally wanted to go in, and I'm the reason that we're having the conversation anyway. So, that's an important part. It is an important part in my life because after what I've been through, and I've been through years and years and years of major depression and suicidal tries, and, you know, I have a personal relationship with him, so it wouldn't take... you know, a whole lot for someone to really delve deeper into it for me personally. But that's just, you know, again,
well,
I had a situation in my life that caused me to be closer to God. So
I find that most people that really want to engage in life change are opening to pursue things they just haven't thought about before. And I want to help them with that. It's what I needed. It's what I needed to work through the challenges in my life.
And let me ask you this. How the challenges in your life. Now, I said in the introduction that you were in business. It looks like it was a family business. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
So it was a family business that you were involved in for 30 years. When did this whole thing start for you as far as challenges? Was it as a child? Was it as an adult? Dealing with a family business, what made you decide that you had issues?
It was actually more through my home, my marriage and my home life that I started really. My wife has been the biggest blessing to me in that she helped me see things that no one else would tell me. Now, I didn't always want to hear them. In fact, I usually didn't want to hear them. But she helped me see so many blind spots that carried over to work. I didn't see them at work, but they were there. And it's through my struggles at home that I started doing a lot of self-evaluation and becoming open and actually humbled to begin to learn how my strengths carried to extreme were really counterproductive.
So let me ask you this question. If you had never met your wife and never gotten married and had this one-on-one relationship with someone that you basically rubbed shoulders with and lived side by side with, you may never have actually found what was wrong with yourself to fix yourself.
That's entirely possible. It's, yeah, I don't know because I've not done that journey, but I just know on the journey that I am on, that was a critical part of me learning about myself. And
I think personally, go ahead.
Are you there?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you for a second. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so if I was in your shoes, and I'm not being derogatory or mean in saying this, I think that you should thank your wife and thank your lucky stars that you met her.
I have, in fact. She has helped me with a book on some different things, and I have told her on several occasions how grateful I am for her, because it's through her that she has helped me grow on my journey and in my path. So you're absolutely right. I am so thankful for my wife, far beyond I could even put in words.
And so I would have to say that listening to your story and talking with you today, I hesitate maybe to say this, but behind every man there is a great woman who helps us get through every day of our lives, and that's what their purpose is,
yeah,
to be here on the face of this earth.
Yeah, we don't realize it, but that's the truth.
And that's why I've said it to a couple of other guests that I've had on, talking about relationships and trying to find ourselves as human beings, and that is the fact that as a man, we need to stop bad-mouthing women. And then in the same instance, women have to stop bad-mouthing men, because we're all in this together. And if we stopped shooting arrows at each other, we would be much better off to improve as human beings instead of being enemies, per se. Not necessarily actually, but figuratively speaking.
That is exactly why I offer mentoring to not only men, but cut to couples as well. Because if we can get on the same sheet of music, it's just like a team of horses. If a team of horses is pulling together, they can pull a maxi load probably three or four times what each horse independently could pull, particularly if they're pulling different directions. And so if we can get together and harness ourselves and become one in our love and our thinking, life becomes full of joy and purpose. And when we fight against that, it's just the opposite. It's, you know, I think about it, you know, the average divorce costs $15,000. That's just the cost of divorce, let alone alimony, let alone the heartache and problems and things like that. And it saddens me that people are not willing to invest just a little money in them and time into themselves through humility, to grow and to learn how to prevent that from even happening. And it really is a passion in my heart to connect with those that are willing to just take a chance and ask the question, is it possible for me to grow and change through this? And if they are, they will be rewarded greatly. And the investment in themselves and that, so much is a so much of a greater investment than divorce and going separate ways. And that's only just to the marriage aspect. There's a lot of things that principle applies to, but I'm speaking specifically now about marriage itself. It's I offer not only the one-on-one mentoring, but also if people just want to engage in a different way, I have group mentoring also, group phone mentoring, where I have a specific time of the week for guys to call in and we just chat about, instead of going for breakfast somewhere, maybe we do it in an evening. and do it once a week for the same kind of period, either a 3-week program or a 12-week program?
I had a thought in my mind and it just slipped out. But yeah, now you made it perfectly clear in the talk that you are a mentor, you're not a therapist. But I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking to myself, with the background that you have, with the church affiliation that you have, you could actually take on a therapy session for people as well and incorporate everything into one. Am I wrong?
It absolutely is true. But some people are turned off by the stigma of therapy, and so I prefer to, you can call it whatever you want, but it will end up being about meeting their needs and talking through their needs, probably in a way a therapist would do that. But I want to take away any stigma that would cause a person to resist growth in their life and make it as easy as possible for them to accept it and to be willing to engage. But I agree with what you just said.
And as far as understanding people and how they can grow in their life, this, what you do, I think would be an absolute positive for single people, people who either are not dating or who are dating but are not married, because they get a chance to learn about themselves. They learn about what they need to learn to treat their spouse or their girlfriend or whatever, boyfriend, and it'll help them have a better relationship right out of the gate instead of waiting until it starts to go downhill like yours did or two of mine have, and then have to start jumping in and figuring out how to fix it.
Well, that's really what I'm working on now, is how to connect with people earlier on to prevent these things from even happening. And one of the things I'm doing is I teach at Purdue University School of Technology in South Bend. I teach an applied leadership class. And in that, with my students, I don't use the spiritual side of my book, but we do use my book as one of the sources of preparing them for life, to learn leadership principles. And really what we're talking about in this is learning to lead first yourself. And as you learn to lead yourself, you learn the kind of emotional quotient, the emotional intelligence that allow you to build trust and lead other people in relationships in a positive way, not a domineering way, but a positive way that builds trust.
All right. Let me do this. I want you to definitely touch base with my listeners and let them know more about your book and your mentoring programs. So give them some information as to where they can learn more about you and find your book and more information on your mentoring program.
I've made it as simple as possible. If they just go to one place, my website, www.findingpurposeandjoy.com, there's information about how to buy my book, an autographed book. There's also information about the mentoring programs with details of it. Again, that's www.findingpurposeandjoy.com. And I also have an e-book that's available on Amazon, but all that's available on the website there.
Sounds great. If you want to hold on just a few minutes, we're going to take some commercial breaks, and we'll come right back, Roger.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
They say everybody has a story. A special few have the gift of bringing stories to life. When you absolutely can't get your book from your head to the written page, you need the special services of a ghostwriter. You will be amazed at what happens when you leave the telling of your story to a writer with the ability to reach inside and capture joy and laughter and pain and transform it all into your words. Your raw emotions just waiting to explode into reality. When waiting to tell your story is no longer an option, trust a ghostwriter that can deliver on a promise. Shirley Carney is that writer you can trust. Contact Shirley at ShirleyWintersCarney@yahoo.com or give her a call at 832-492-4088. Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. We've been talking with Roger Leidwig, a gentleman who has written a book about finding purpose and joy and trying to help mentor people make better people of themselves. Roger, I want to thank you for being on today. It's been a great conversation, and I definitely want to touch base with you and possibly have you on again to talk more about the spiritual side.
I would be happy to do that. It would be a real privilege to be able to do that.
All righty. I thank you again for coming on, and hopefully we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Lloyd.
Okay, Roger. Take care.
Yep, you too.
All righty. That was Roger Leidwig, a gentleman who's written a book about your purpose in life and making your life a joy instead of a burden that a lot of people feel it is. My second guest today is a young lady who, for 15 years, spent her life in the corporate marketing world, and she's come up with something that I am just dying to talk to her about. She's become a dating coach, and using her 15 years of corporate marketing to market people on a dating aspect. So let's welcome in Michelle Barnum-Smith. Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Lloyd. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I know we're a little short on time today, but I'll try and get to as much as I can. And if not, I definitely would love to have you back to talk about dating to a man who's been divorced twice and doesn't have any idea about getting married a third time. But tell us how you came up with the idea of taking your corporate marketing skills into the dating scene.
Well, you know, dating really is, at its core, just a personal sales and marketing process. And I was a single girl well into my 30s, and getting married was always something that was something that I wanted to do and start a family. And but I was also this career woman, and I kind of realized that marketing could be the key to helping me move the product, you know, so to speak. So that's the first thing, you know, really that I help people understand is that, you know, dating really is just, you know, a personal sales and marketing process, whether you realize it or not. So you might as well get good at it, you know, if finding love is something you're serious about.
Now, where should a person start when they're trying to market themselves? Because I know when I go out on a date, it's just a natural thing. I'm funny, I'm crazy, and if they like me, great. If they don't, hey, move on to the next person.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Well, the first place that people need to start with marketing, it's actually a really overlooked step, and that is with a simple mindset. And I had to kind of come to this realization on my own as well. And that is that, you know, we don't treat finding love like any other goal that we have in our lives. You know, we do a lot of what I call the three W's, wishing, wondering, and waiting when it comes to finding love. And we treat it like it's some sort of like mystical universe-driven process. And I'm a spiritual person, and so I definitely believe that there is a God in this universe directing our lives and our happiness. But at the same time, you know, if we were to treat finding love like we would any other life goal, then I think we would get a lot farther. So, for example, when I realized that I, you know, as a business-oriented person, when I realized that if a business were to approach their business the way that I approach my love life, you ever heard a business owner talking about, well, I wish that I had customers, and I wonder why it's not working. Well, I'm just going to wait, and if God really wants my business to be successful, it'll just happen. And if you've ever heard a business person talk like that, you, a logical person, would probably think, well, if only my for that business goes out of business, right? Or you're just like, you know, you got to take some action here. You know, if you're not having, you know, if you're not able to find customers, you got to change things up. You got to figure out what's going on and get more strategic. Another example is, like, I'm a new mom. I have some baby weight that I need to still lose. And so if I approached that life goal with the wishing, wondering, and waiting, you know, behavior, oh, I wish I wasn't overweight, and I wonder what I could do to, you know, to change things. Well, I'm just going to wait, and if it was really meant to be, you know, if I say my prayers at night, the weight will just magically disappear in the night, you know. And it doesn't work like that, right? We as logical people recognize that kind of mindset towards goals or towards success, it doesn't work. And so really the first step that people need to take when it comes to marketing themselves is to have that mental shift from wishing, wondering, and waiting to making a commitment to purposeful efforts. I call it commit to risk, R-I-T. So the first step with shifting towards this purposeful effort is to recognize that success is up to you. It's not up to the universe. It's not up to your mom. It's not up to men these days or women these days. Success really is your responsibility. Now, if finding love is something that you're serious about, then you need to take responsibility for finding it as well as the results for maybe it not going right in your life. The second step is to identify a game plan. So, you know, for weight loss, there's lots of different options out there for figuring out, you know, for losing those pounds. And being a new mom, I had feeding my daughter late into the night, early into the mornings, and I saw lots of infomercials with lots of, you know, DVDs or pill plans or, you know, all sorts of things, you know. So there's lots of options. There's lots of dating experts, lots of relationship coaches, lots of, you know, really good approaches to dating out there. And so you have to identify your game plan for taking action. And that's really the third step is to take the required steps. You know, I can buy all the fitness DVDs that I want to, but if I'm laying on my couch eating donuts and watching those DVDs, it's not going to melt the pounds away. Dang it. So those are my first. That's my first thing. You got to, like, stop the wishing, wondering, and waiting. You got to commit yourself to recognizing and identifying and then taking action towards achieving this goal of finding love in your life.
And I'm sitting here and I'm going, wow, because there's a whole – well, I shouldn't say that because there's a plan to do everything. Like you said, there's a plan to lose weight. There's a plan – to do this, there's a plan to do that. So there should be a plan to find a person that you would like to date or possibly go further with as far as marriage is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but in my situation, per se, I've been married twice, divorced twice,
mm-hmm.
and I have no real interest in getting remarried, where the young lady who I'm dating and living with wants to get married because she feels there's a certain amount of commitment that needs to be there for her as far as comfortability level is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm telling her, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. She said, well, neither am I, so why don't we just get married? And I'm like going, okay, let me think about it. It's not on the front burner of my stove. So, but the people need a business or marketing background to market themselves. I mean, do they think of, when they think of a dating plan and marketing themselves for love, do they think of it in the same way as a marketing plan for business or not?
Yeah, so the process is really similar, and that's where my business background basically kind of took over my love life. You know, I was in my corporate career, I was moving hundreds of millions of dollars in product via these same marketing principles and strategies that businesses all over the world use every single day. In fact, my kind of aha moment came to me at the end of a round-the-world business trip where I was building marketing plans in China and all over Europe. And at the end of that trip was my birthday. And I had the blessed opportunity of spending that in Paris. And if you've ever heard of Paris or been to Paris or any of the above, like, you know, it's certainly marketed as the most romantic city in the world. And it truly, you know, it's incredible. It's beautiful. But waking up on your birthday in Paris, completely romantically alone, is not the ideal situation. And so for me, that was kind of my aha moment where I realized, like, hey, you know, I need to take these skills and these practices and principles that I have seen work to basically drive the world's economy. It works in China. It works for large businesses. It works for small businesses. And it works for individuals because I use these same practices and principles to get me married. And really there's three steps that each business person or individual needs to take to be able to start their own personal marketing process. Essentially they have to ask themselves three distinct questions. And the first question is, what is the product? The second is, who is the product best for? And then the third is, well, where can I find those people so I can tell them about the product? And so oftentimes people wonder, well, where should I start? Where should I start with marketing? Where do I find those guys? Where do I find, you know, the best girls and all those things? And it's like, you know, honestly, you have to start even before is getting good with the product, really understanding it, and the product being you. You are the product that you are bringing to the dating marketplace, you know, and I had to personally recognize, like, that I kind of had to take inventory on myself and understand, well, what am I putting out there? What's my personal brand saying? And I had to get nitty gritty with the good, the bad, and the ugly as it related to me and my own personal offering. And then I had to improve the product, right? You know, if you have a smartphone, you know that your apps are never perfect the first time around. They're always downloading. They're always updating. And we as individuals need to have that same attitude towards ourselves. We always need to be improving. That doesn't mean that we have to wait to be perfect to try to date, or that we have to be perfect to be lovable. But once we take that inventory, we need to take responsibility for those things that we can change. And work on those things that we're not happy with. And we also need to accept those things that we can't change and start to love ourselves for who we are and what we have to bring to market. I was chatting with a girl yesterday who was, you know, trying out Tinder, the dating app, for the first time. And anybody who's used Tinder knows that it's just about the visuals. It's just about how you look. And she's curvy and, you know, felt a little insecure there, and she was complaining about, you know, guys not liking her and things like that. And I was like, you know, it sounds like, first and foremost, that you don't really like you. You know, that you're trying to hide the fact that this is how you are and what you've been for years, you know. It's not going away anytime soon. So, you know, that first step really in dating is getting good with your own product, getting passionate about it. And it comes down to back to infomercials. You know, if you've ever seen a really good infomercial, that salesperson on that commercial is like totally stoked on their product. Like they are just so convincing in the fact that they believe it. They know it'll work, and it's the solution to everything that you know that you want out of life. And whether it's a ShamWow towel or you know some sort of bleach or diet pill, whatever it be, and you have to have that same level of passion for your product so that you can, you know, sell others on who it is you are. And I tell people this all the time. You know, you have to be right for you first. Because if you're trying to fill your life with somebody else, if you're trying to fill your life with their love and validation, but you don't have that for yourself first, it's only a matter of time before you suck that other person dry in the sense of emotional support and love. So that's really the first thing that you got to do there is be right for you first. Get sold on your own product.
If I may say, in what you're saying, and I totally agree with everything you're saying, you have to date yourself before
yeah.
you can ever go out and date another human being, because you have to. And I think you can further this program by teaching people how to date themselves first and foremost, because, you know, hey, guys always think, hey, you know, we're guys. We can go out, we'll get anything and not have to
yeah.
do anything. And that's absolutely not true. We need to know ourselves, and we don't necessarily, like you said, have to correct or better ourselves. We have to ultimately understand ourselves. And
yeah.
I'm 58 years old, and I'm proud to say that, but I'm also proud to say that 58 is so much further out there than being 25. You have
yeah.
so much more
yeah.
life experiences, and you know, I know what I want in a woman, and I know what I need in a woman, and
mm-hmm.
so it's a lot easier for me now at 58 than it was at 25. So
yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, you need to definitely, not you, but I'm saying a person who is involved in marketing themselves has to market themselves to themselves in the mirror
yeah.
and feel good about themselves and feeling like they're not fooling themselves before they go out and try it on somebody else. Because you can go out there, I mean, how many people go out and date and the person on the first date, the second date, is not the person that they get on the third date or the fourth date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So when I saw what you did and coming on and talking about it, I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting. This is kind of different because
yeah.
this is actually teaching people to find out about themselves and kind of falls in place with my first guest because you're teaching people how to find out about themselves. And then Roger, my first guest, was the person who was helping people find their purpose in life and making
mm-hmm.
life a joy. So it all kind of fits together. Let me do this real quick. Let me have you give people information as to where they can find you, and then I'm going to say thank you for coming on and sharing this.
Yeah, absolutely. So people, you know, there's three other steps that you need to take to build your marketing plan, and I go through all of those in a free video training on my website. You can get it at marketingtomarriage.com. And it's a four video series where I talk about each of the steps that I personally had to take in getting myself married and it worked for others too. This isn't just a me thing. I had three weddings just this last summer. So it's exciting to be a part of helping other people find love and starting their paths of starting families, which I think is the point to all of
Sounds
this
pretty.
Craziness. Yeah. Thanks so much, Lloyd.
Thank you for coming on, Michelle. I appreciate your time on.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime in the future, either. You guys have more dating questions, you know, if we need to talk about, you know, your the next phase, once you're in a relationship, the customer retention portion, you know, of relationships. You know, businesses don't just acquire customers to let them go or to send them on their way. It's all about customer support.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Self Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.